That's right. It is Preds Extra. Welcome in ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. It's a tradition every playoff season. We give you a little pregame to the pregame. Darren McFarlane will have the official Lee Company Nashville Predators pregame show coming up at 7:30, and then at 8:30 or a little bit after, you will hear the legendary voice of Pete Weber, Skillsy Hal Gill. They'll be on the call. Game one, Predators and Avalanche at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Hope you're having a fantastic end to your Tuesday. We're going to take your calls. You're going to hear from Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. He's going to join us at 6:30. Hal Gill will actually join from the booth around 7 o'clock. We'll get a check-in at Ball Arena with him. You'll hear from the head coach, John Hines, Captain Roman Josi, over the next hour and a half. But I want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we will talk about this Preds team and how they got to this point and what the heck they need to do to beat the Colorado Avalanche to advance to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's hard to believe that it has been a long time since they have won a playoff series. We all remember that run to the Stanley Cup final that they made in 16-17, winning the President's Trophy, beating this Colorado Avalanche team the following year when they won the President's Trophy, losing in seven games to Winnipeg, and then being knocked out by Dallas, and then you have the COVID year. So there's a hunger and a thirst by Preds Nation to win a playoff series once again. But eight straight playoff appearances is nothing that you can shake your head at all. That is quite a tremendous accomplishment that this organization has made. But the big story going in to this series is no Juuse Saros. It will be David Rittich getting the start tonight. That was confirmed by the head coach, John Hines, earlier today. But, of course, Hines was asked about yesterday or a couple of days ago, I think it was. He was asked about Juuse Saros, and this is when he confirmed that he would be out two games.
You know, David's, I thought he played well last time he was here. He's Yeah, Juuse will be out the first two games, and then we'll go from there.
Have you talked to him, and where is he at, like, kind of mentally? I mean, you know, I can't do much physically, I'm guessing, right now. But, I mean, have you had a chance to talk to him? Can you share with us at least a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we talk with every player basically every day that we're here. But in regards to Juuse, yeah, I mean, he's doing his rehab. He's working. He's getting better. He's around the team. You know, he's doing, you know, obviously you have to do different things, whether you're skating in a medical skate that's separated from other guys, you know, at different times of the day. You know, he's in all of our team meetings. He's there. I mean, he's preparing himself, you know, mentally to make sure that when and if he's ready, then he's going to be ready to go. So there's no difference on that. That's why he's been on the trip and been around the team and working hard with his rehab. We have all our athletic trainers and all the treatment and things that he needs right now. There's ice available. So we're just trying to do the best job we can to provide him with the opportunity to get better, and he's taking advantage of it.
Listen, you have to, you know, this time of year, even though hockey is that one sport that they're going to try and tell you as little as they possibly can. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter the organization. They all work the same. It's upper body, lower body, you know, what have you, day to day, week to week. They're going to give you as little information as they possibly can. Now, John Hines is a little more forthcoming than his predecessor, Peter Laviolette, but, there is this, in their mind, a strategy behind it all. Two games, at least, is what we know right now for Juuse Saros. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, by the third game, he'll be good to go. Now, could it be a situation where, hey, it's a tight series or they're down 0-2? I think it really depends on how things are going. Does the timeline speed up? But at the same time, you want him to be... While no one, I believe, is going to be 100% this time of year, you want him to be as good to go and close to 100% as possible. You don't want to rush him back. And likewise, if it's 2-0 Preds or 1-1 when they come back to Nashville for Game 3 and David Rittich is playing well, then okay, you're in good shape. And that's the hope that this Predators coaching staff and this team has, because – backups are signed to be backups. It's like a quarterback. You know, Logan Woodside was signed to be the backup for the Titans. That's their job. But there is that caveat of if the starter goes down, you have to be ready to play. And I know that looking at this season for David Riddick, he started 12 games. He appeared in 17. He went 6-3-0, but he had a 3.57 goals against average compared to UC Saros 2.64 and an 8.86 save percentage. Not great numbers, but and he's never started a playoff game, never been in a playoff series. So I understand the concern, and I do believe that the leash is going to be short, that Connor Ingram could very well see some action. It didn't help, the other night, but I think that they're going to give Riddick the opportunity. He's starting tonight, and they're going to see where it goes. And John Hines, after morning skate today, discussed his starting goaltender tonight, David Riddick.
Well, I think, David's, I thought he played well. Last time he was here, he's been with our team. I think he's experienced. He's played more games in the league. He's won a lot of games in the league. He's been, he took over the starting role in Calgary a couple years ago before the COVID shutdown and played really well. And, we think it's give him the opportunity here, and we trust him and believe in him. We think he can come in here and help us win a hockey game, and we'll go from there.
That's John Hines on his goaltender, David Riddick. And I want to do two things here. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm trying to be a realist. Two things that I want to caution Preds fans on. One, don't look at a regular season series. I know that the Predators took 3 of 4. A lot of different circumstances involved in that. Not taking anything away from it, but it would be, I would say the same thing if I was in Colorado and the Avalanche took 3 of 4. You cannot base a lot of your judgment on a regular season series, because you get into the playoffs and anything can happen. Okay. So you have to consider that. The second thing, and we're all guilty of it. We've all done it. And the players have been asked about it. This isn't 2017. This is a different team. I know comparisons are going to be made because the Preds are the 8th seed. And in 2017, it was a little bit different. Because, and I heard Jared talking about this earlier, and I agree with him. He had P.K. Subban. P.K. Subban was at the top of his game at the time. Yossi now at the top of his game. So you've kind of swapped that. Yossi has obviously gotten better as he's come along. You obviously have a different coaching staff, a different system that's in place. And I just don't like comparing teams to teams, even though they're the same team, if that makes sense. Because then Yossi was asked about it. A lot of those people are gone. There's not many members of that squad that's still here with the Nashville Predators. So now the question is, do the Predators have enough scoring power to match Colorado? An interesting nugget for you that the Predators actually put out today. They scored 262 goals this season. That is the second most in a single campaign in franchise history. 06-07, which I still believe might be the most talented team that this organization's ever had 266 goals that year. They had acquired Peter Forsberg and Paul Kariya and J.P. Dumont. That was a really, really good squad. Marty Erat, David Legman, Thomas Vokoun was in net. But they have scored a lot of goals this year, and it all started with Matt Duchene, who we know needed to show out and have a good year with his 43, Forsberg with 42, Johansson had 26, Janot had 24, Yossi had 23, and obviously the 96 points. So they had guys that were able to score, and Nashville had 5 players with at least 60 points, which were Yossi, Duchene, Forsberg, Johansson, and Granlund for the first time in franchise history. So they have the scorers. Now, if you look down the ledger and you look at Colorado, they didn't have 240-goal scorers, but they had Rantanen and McKinnon that were 30-goal scorers, 36 and 32 respectively. Rantanen had 92 points on the year. Kadri brings 28. Makar has 28. That's going to be a fun battle between Yossi and Kadri, or Yossi and Makar, I should say, for the battle for the Norris You're going to see it firsthand. Landeskog had 30 goals on the year. So that it's going to be interesting. If you're a better like me, take the over. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of goals scored in this series because both teams know how to do that. And I think if you're looking for weaknesses, the defense on both ends is probably where you start outside of, you know, Josi and Makar that have been tremendous for their teams. The question for the Predators is going to be, until Saros is back, if Saros can come back, can David Rittich and maybe Connor Ingram do enough to help them win these games? That is going to be the question. But up next, the biggest key for the Predators is going to be that word that has been used over and over again this year, their identity. We'll discuss that up next here on Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
I think so, yeah. I feel like our identity, kind of the identity we built this year, has always kind of been a playoff hockey. We play physical, we play hard. I think we have a lot of lines, four lines that can forecheck hard and make life tough on the opposition. And I definitely think our game is kind of built that way. And a lot of times in playoffs, the intensity goes up, the physicality goes up. So I think that's kind of what we did all year and what's kind of been our identity.
There you go, Roman Josi, the captain, on if this team's identity is built for the playoffs. Welcome back into Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you. We'll talk to Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio at the bottom of the hour before we turn things over to Preds pregame at 7:30. But that's going to be the question. I went on a show last night and got asked, okay, how does Nashville beat Colorado? And I listen, full disclosure, I think the Avs win this series in six games. I think that, and we're going to get to why I think that in more detail, but I believe if there is an opportunity for the Predators to win this, they're going to win it through their physicality on top of having Duchesne, Forsberg, Johansson, Josi be who they are, and obviously goaltending is going to be a factor. You know, I thought that even going into this, if you had a healthy Saros, Colorado is still the favorite. I mean, they're everybody's favorite to win the Stanley Cup, but I think the Predators outmatch them from a physical standpoint. So if they can get to their identity, and honestly, like, I know it's been there, but I'm talking about get to that like it was in the middle of the season. You know, when you were getting more out of Janot, you were getting more out of Trennan, you know, that the herd was playing like the herd and or the beast line or however you want to put it. That's what has to happen for them to win this series. I think they're capable of it. Everybody was talking about Calgary and what that was going to be like. Calgary would have been a Royal Rumble, to use the wrestling reference, because both teams bring that type of physicality. Now, Kadri's somebody you don't want to mess with. Kadri has a little bit of that edge and you-know-what and vinegar to his game, and obviously can score. I mean, Janot is kind of what he's not to the same level as Kadri yet, but he's what you want. You want that edginess, that physicality, not afraid to drop the gloves, but can also score on you at the same time. Now, the key in all of this is, and what Colorado and Jared Bednar, they're talking about, is the Predators play with an edge and have physicality. It puts them in the box, and you don't want to have to keep taking penalties and being in the box all the time, because that's been the bugaboo for the Predators. And as Matthias Ekholm said earlier today after morning skate, special teams is certainly going to play a factor.
Yeah, for sure. It's huge. We know they have a great power play, and so does we. So I think that's a huge part of it. But I rather almost take an extra penalty but be aggressive in the game and not sit back. I'm opposing to not go out there and not trying to get penalties, because that's not going to be a good recipe either. So it's, as you're saying, it's a fine line. But again, I like when our team is on the aggressive side and our penalty kill maybe gets to do an extra job or an extra shift here and there. But we're actually on top of things and we're really aggressive and we're trying to get in their face. But at the same time, we know that a penalty kill here and there can kill you too in the playoff game. So it's a fine line. I agree 100% with you.
Yeah, and that's going to be the balance for them. You know, he said, if you got to take an extra penalty to play your identity, that's a fine line because this team, this Colorado team, can hurt you on the man advantage. And I think everybody knows that. You know, I read off the goal scorers that they have. Rantanen, McKinnon, Landeskog, Kadri, Makar, Nikushkin. I mean, they have a ton of guys that can hurt you and put the puck in the back of the net. And you put that power play unit on display, and that's what you're going to get. So you have to stay out of the box. You got to play smart, play physical, but play smart at the same time. Now the question going into this playoff series, and I said I was going to give you another reason why I felt Colorado would win this series. There's more pressure on Colorado than there is Nashville. And I thought it was interesting because Philip Forsberg was actually asked that question of, is there more pressure on you guys or the Avalanche? Okay, we'll get it in a second. But I think there's more pressure. Okay, go ahead.
Do you feel like there's pressure on you guys to perform, or is there more pressure for the Avalanche given where they finished?
No, I mean, I think it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's the biggest stage in the world. You're playing every team that made it the playoffs has a chance to win. That goes for all 16 teams and 8 on both sides. And pressure is it's a funny thing. It's it make diamonds, and yeah, we're excited for it. And like I said, just with pressure, I think they've earned their right to be number one seed, and we earned the right to be number 8 and on our side. And at the end of the day, it's just hockey.
I like that, you know, nonchalant attitude at the end of the day. It's hockey. But I think the Predators know this. There's a ton of pressure on Colorado. And I've heard Darren say it, and I agree with it. Jared referenced it earlier today as well, that if the Predators go and win this series, Jared Bednar is going to get fired. I mean, it just – they have not lived up to things at this point. And they're not the only team that can say that. But there are a ton of people picking this Colorado Avalanche team – to win the Stanley Cup. And I remember seeing this team 4 years ago or whatever it was when they were starting to build them. Jared called them the Punch and Judy Colorado Avalanche. And you could start to see this young talent and go, if they build around that and they develop it right, you know, this could be a pretty good team moving forward. And guess what? Now they are. But they haven't proven it to this point. They haven't gotten to the promised land to this point. So, you know, if the Predators do their thing, which they got, you know, they really in the grand scheme of things have nothing to lose. They do their thing and they knock him out. I think Bednar could be in trouble. I think there's definitely some truth to that because of all the pressure that comes with being really good. The Predators felt it a few years ago, you know, when they made it to the Stanley Cup final and then all of a sudden they're on the map, they're not flying under the radar anymore, and everybody, you know, that in this business that's an expert decides, okay, the Predators are really good. They back it up by going to win the President's Trophy. But what happens? Granted, it was a 7-game series, and it was a tough series against Winnipeg, but they lost. They didn't go back to the Stanley Cup Final. They didn't even get to the Western Conference Final. And that's just the way it was. That's how it shakes out sometimes. But I think that there is much more pressure on Colorado to get to win this series and to get all the way and hoist the Stanley Cup once again. And because of that, and because of the way that the Predators play and how this series could go, you know, if the Predators, again, goaltending is going to be where everybody is going to look, but if they make this a really tough series, and it's got to go 7, can this team withstand a 7-game series? John Hines was asked if his team was built for a 7-game series.
Yeah, it's a good question. I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, we have to prove that. I think what we wanted to do was assemble a team that was hard to play against, and assemble guys that can play, you know, the game and at the competitive level that's required at the NHL to win, to give yourself a chance to be a playoff team. You know, the 82 games is a grind. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of parity. So how can you put together a team of a lot of natural competitors, guys that play the game hard, play the game the right way, are willing to be good teammates, are willing to be part of a team? You know, that gives you the best chance to win. And, you know, we were able to accomplish that this year in the regular season, and now we have a different challenge. Now it's the second season, it's the playoffs. So, you know, we need to see where our group is at and our identity is at, and see where, you know, if that's good enough to be able to come in and win a playoff game.
Yeah, and listen, he mentioned something that we haven't even brought up yet. 82 games. This is the first time in 3 years that they've played a full 82-game season. You had 1920 that was cut short because of the pandemic. They came back and were in the bubble. You had last year that was obviously cut short because of the pandemic, and this year they get back to playing 82 games, and that does take a grind, especially on the players as young as this team is that haven't done it before. And I think you saw the effects of some of that, of some of those guys that had never gone through an 82-game season. But now you got to hit reset. The intensity goes up several notches. And as I like to say, you got to go put your big boy pants on and go take care of business. We're about an hour away from pregame, about 2 hours away from puck drop. Coming up next, we'll talk to Justin Bradford. He is of Penalty Box Radio, which you hear every Wednesday at 7 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get his thoughts for the next two segments on the Predators and the Avalanche Game 1 coming up tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Philip. Back here on Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Make sure you check out 106.3 if you're going down I-65 into Spring Hill, I-24 towards the borough. We have another way for you to listen to Nashville's best sports talk. The Rangers have taken a 1-0 lead over Pittsburgh with about 8:33 to go in the first period. Chase McCabe here with you on Preds Extra, and we say hello to my good buddy Justin B. Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. Justin, it would not be a Predators playoff show if you and I weren't doing the show together in some capacity.
That's true, Chase. That's true. I'm glad you asked me, and I'm just happy to be here so I don't get fined.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's start with this, though. You know, you called me last week and told me some stuff, and then you announced it. But Penalty Box Radio, you're hanging up the mic, and this makes me very sad.
Yeah, man. It's been a decade, and it's so shocking to say it's been a decade too, man. It's one of those things. We started out on 102.5 during the lockout, which, what a challenge that was to have a radio show talking about hockey when NHL is not being played. But it was fantastic because it forced us to realize there's so much other stuff going on. So from the get-go with Big Ben and Glenn, and then you as our producer, man. And I know this is not the end yet, but it's been an incredible run. And so hanging up the mic and coming out of the press box and have another venture coming up with some good friends. Jeremy K. Gover, you've heard that name before on these airwaves. Have a nice project with him and Jim Chandler coming up.
Oh, very cool. See, I knew you couldn't
little tease
stay completely out. I mean, that's how this works. Yeah, you guys made it through having a rookie producer and me, so you know, must have been doing something right. But let's
talk
about
a lot of things right.
Let's talk about this Preds team and this matchup against Colorado. Full disclosure, I have picked the Avalanche to win this, and I want to start with one of the biggest reasons why. I think there's more pressure on Jared Bednar and this Avs team than there is on the Nashville Predators right now because of all the hype and everybody picking them, and they are a very, very talented team. They've been pretty much the favorite all year to win the Stanley Cup. You agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the pressure is all on the Colorado Avalanche for this. And I mean, if there's one glimmer of hope for Predators fans, is that there's a lot of pressure on Colorado and there's zero pressure on the Nashville Predators because nobody's picking them. So there's no pressure on them, which is a good way to be because they get to be the underdog again. They get to be the team that can come in and play spoiler. They don't have the pressure on their backs to perform. They're without their starting goaltender. their workhorse. They're going to be playing with a backup that had less than 15 games started during the entire season. So it doesn't have that many reps in. They were a little inconsistent going into the playoffs, but it's a new season going into the playoffs now. So all the pressure's on Colorado because they've been a favorite. And if anything, I mean, if trying to spin it, that could bode well for the Predators and they could come in and surprise them. It's just that you're going to have to surprise Colorado quick. They're too talented of a team to be surprised over a span of seven games. You know, if you're going to steal one, here's the game to steal one. You go in and play a little bit of shocker, kind of like L.A. went in and went into Edmonton and took care of business in a shocker of game one right there, too. That's what you do is in game one, because it's not like they're going to be ill-prepared for the rest of the series.
I think L.A. is going to beat Edmonton, by the way.
Oh, boy.
I think they're going to win that series. But the Predators, you know, they're not going to outskill Colorado. They're just not. Even though they got two 40-goal scorers and they got a potentially Norris-winning defenseman in Roman Josi that had 96 points, they're not going to outskill him from top to bottom. But the physical part is where I give the Predators the advantage. And if they're going to win this series, that's how they're going to do it. They got to get back to their identity, not what they ended the season with, but what we saw midseason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's where you're seeing Tanner Janot making physical plays, but not necessarily going to the box for anything other than fighting. You're seeing Nick Cousins mix it up when he is able to. Luke Cunningham playing a little shifty, and he's been the guy that's underperformed so much this season, Luke Cunningham, that he has the ability to play so much better and perform so much better and score so much more than what we've seen out of him too. Yeah, the physicality of this team is going to be the difference maker. And eventually, you know, you get Jeremy Lawson back. That's going to be a big difference maker, I think, just in the depth of the defense and having him play. But because you see a drop off with what Matt Benning has provided, you absolutely do not want to see Ben Harper get any time. And then they recalled Philip Myers as well too. So it makes you wonder what could potentially happen there. It's just for depth because of possible injuries and whatnot. So the physicality has to be one of the difference makers, because if you can force Colorado off their game just a little bit because of your physicalness, then that's where you have to take advantage of it as well too, where you get them to you goad them into things where they bite and they take a penalty. You put the Predators on the power play. That would be a good position to be in, as giving them more opportunity on the power play and forcing Colorado to play shorthanded. They have guys that 5-on-5 are going to make you pay, of Mika Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, Nazem Kadri, Cale Makar. I mean, there's so much talent on that Colorado team. Is you have to take advantage of what your positives are. And for the Predators, it's physicality and going on the power play to make them pay. You're not going to beat Colorado 5-on-5. You have to goad them into things and make them make mistakes because the pressure's on them. So this Predators team, if they can get under the skin of Colorado and do those types of things to put themselves with a man advantage, that's where you're going to see positivity happen.
We're talking to Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. I feel like with the playoffs, you always seem to find an unsung hero. And the way that this Predators team has played all year long, they've had a bunch of them. I mean, you know, guys that we didn't really talk about, and now all of a sudden we are. You know, Tanner Janot is probably at the top of that list. But who in your mind needs to or can be that unsung hero for the Predators?
I think one of those guys could be a Philip Tomasino if he's able to find some extra space. I mean, for a rookie campaign, given what the expectations were, I think he had a pretty decent rookie campaign. But he could be one of those difference makers, because we start looking at matchups in the playoffs. That's we talk about it a little bit during the regular season, but once you get to playoffs, it's like, okay, who's matching up against who? What the first line's going up against, what's the second line going up against? And then we've talked about it every single year. I know we have as well, a third line potentially, or any of the bottom two lines, who are they going to match up against? And if you have a guy like Tomasino or an Elli Tolvanen, if they're not cracking in the top six, those are those two guys that could be difference makers because they have scoring touches, although Elli Tolvanen kind of struggled this season. But those are two guys that in the playoffs at the right moment, at the right time, if they're being matched up against one of the other lower lines from Colorado, there's opportunity there for them to put up some points. That's where you're going to see the interesting matchups take place, because obviously they're going to be working to shut down Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene as much as they possibly can. But that's where those guys that are depth guys that do have scoring touches can make a big difference. So that's what I'd want to look for, is see how those guys can step up and score Tommy goals. Not saying they're going to be Conn Smythe worthy performances, but in the playoffs, what makes all the difference are timely goals. What's a Freddie Gaudreau type of goal? Those are the types of things the Predators are going to be looking for.
You talk about pressure. How much pressure would you put on, or do you think Philip Forsberg is putting on himself? Because the elephant in the room is still there. Now, he's sitting in the corner with his back turned to everybody because, as David Poile told us, a few weeks ago, that once they got to the playoffs, they'd probably pause any type of talks and negotiations with Philip Forsberg's contract, but that's still not taken care of. So how much pressure do you think is on him to perform in these playoffs?
I mean, I think there's plenty of pressure, because we saw finally this season where he wasn't that much of a streaky player as he has been in the past. So there's pressure for him to be consistent in terms of production. I mean, you can't get much more consistent than 42 and 42 for goals and assists, to be pretty even keeled throughout the season as well. And even though he missed a few games, whether it was COVID or injury, he was able to pull 84 points off in 69 games. Nice. So that's what you really want to be able to do, is for him to be consistent. And I think that's where the pressure comes in, because he knows that he's been streaky in the past. We've addressed it so much in post-game interviews when he's had rough games, or how much it felt good for him to finally get a goal when he maybe didn't score in 9 or 10 games in previous years too. So I think the pressure is there, and he knows it's there. The thing that helps alleviate that a little bit, though, is he's not the only 40-goal scorer on the team. So Matt Duchene's right there as well to pick up some of that slack on the pressure to score goals, because before, when you really think about it for this team, all the pressure was on Philip Forsberg to produce goals. Now some of that can be alleviated on Matt Duchene, even Roman Josi, Tanner Jeannot because of the season that he had, Ryan Johansson because, you know, he's been shooting the puck a little bit more than we're used to seeing him shoot. So I think that helps a little bit of that pressure situation of Philip Forsberg, because he has had goal support this season compared to years past, where the entire team is depending on him to lead the way. Again, that comes in to the whole matchup thing. If teams are able to give him some space, is to open up other guys, or just open him up, or if they're guarding him way too tightly to the chest, does it open up other guys potentially score and have to make Colorado change the game plan? That's the big thing I see with pressure, is that, yeah, the pressure's on him right now, but I think having that goal support alleviates that just a little bit.
Ryan Johansson, somebody interesting, Justin, because I think we've seen playoff Ryan Johansson for the last 2 or 3 weeks. That right there should make Predators fans feel pretty happy.
Oh, absolutely. Playoff Ryan Johansson is an absolute joy to watch, because playoff Ryan Johansson has a swagger to him that we just typically don't see in the regular season. It'll show up every once in a while. I mean, you know, we'll get we're vibing Robbie the types of things that'll happen. But
Robbie.
Yeah. When playoff Ryan Johansson is in that mode, you see the chirping take it to another level, as in nobody likes you. We start seeing all those little chirps and great just comebacks from him, to where he is doing his best to get in the opponent's head, because he's doing that, whether it's waiting faceoffs or it's being physical or possessing the puck. That's what you want to see out of Ryan Johansson. He is a big dude. He has a big body. He's tall. He's lanky. He has a great just reach when it comes to his arms. He's the type of player that can absolutely possess the puck and be a game changer. And that's what you have to expect to see out of Ryan Johansson. Is he the kind of guy that is going to be able to mount up and regulate like you want him to do when someone's going into the zone? Or is he going to protect the puck, or is he going to lose faceoffs when he absolutely has to win them? That's what you want to see out of Ryan Johansson, is that possession game where he's actually not afraid to shoot the puck. I mean, he had 26 goals. That's really good for Ryan Johansson. So to keep that going, for him to shoot the puck and not just dump it off, that's what you want to see out of him. Great passes to his teammates, puck possession, especially in the offensive zone, doing everything he can to protect that puck. We see Phil Forsberg do it all the time. Ryan Johansson can also take that to another level.
He is Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. He's going to stick around for a little while longer, because up next, we haven't talked about it yet, we got to talk goaltending. We'll do that as you listen to Preds Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. You can hear that fine program tomorrow at 7 o'clock on these airwaves, 102.5, The Game. So, Justin, let's talk about it. Dave Riddick is going to get the start tonight, as confirmed by John Hines earlier today. He said that UC Soros was going to be out at least the first two games. And, you know, he's more forthcoming than a lot of coaches in the National Hockey League. But generally, when you hear at least, you probably want to tack on a little bit more. I mean, I think the assumption should be he's out until you look and see him on the ice. But David Riddick, as you, you know, alluded to earlier today, earlier on the show, I should say, only 15 games this year, has not really done a whole lot, 17 appearances total for him on the year. Now he's asked to win playoff games, and he's never played in the playoffs before. So no pressure at all, but it's time to see Big Save Dave.
Yeah, I mean, because I kind of have to. I mean, it's Big Save Dave has played in, what, one playoff game. I mean, he played 16 minutes of that game. Obviously, yeah. He was in relief, I believe. So,
no starts.
No starts. And look, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, because I know Preds fans are sick of hearing all the negativity and everything. But, you know, we try to be real and keep it realistic, to not put any expectations on what should happen. Maybe it's better to be surprised. But David Riddick, over the course of his career, has not had a save percentage above 911. His best goals against average was a 2.61, and that was in 18-19 with Calgary, where he played 45 games. He started 42 of those, like basically splitting duty for two seasons in Calgary, and then has been a backup ever since with Calgary, Toronto, and now Nashville. The expectation for this is that he is a good backup goaltender. He is. That's his role in the NHL, as a backup goaltender. But in high-pressure situations, in situations like this, to have to carry the load of a team, it's going to be an incredibly difficult task for David Riddick to steal games. And that's the key. You know, goaltenders in the playoffs, for teams to win, have to steal some games every now and then. And while he may be serviceable, and he may do a lot of things right, the team in front of him is going to have to give him a lot of goal support to help him steal a game. It's not going to be the thing. I just can't imagine seeing the Nashville Predators winning a 2-1 or 3-2 game with David Riddick in net, because it's just so much on him right now. They are going to have to do everything they can to give him goal support, to give him an early lead, to give him everything they can to help him in his confidence level, to help him in the way he plays, and everything above. Because if they go down by two goals, it is going to be incredibly difficult for them to come back from that. That's the point that we're at right now, too. And I'm not saying that Connor Ingram would be any better at this point. Connor Ingram has been doing great with the Milwaukee Admirals, and I want to see him get more playing time. But coming into the playoffs and just swooping right in, saying, "Okay, Ingram, you're the guy," that's even difficult too. At least Riddick has been playing in the NHL now since 2017-18 full time, than an NHL player. It is a lot of pressure on him. Tonight will be an interesting test in a bad environment in Colorado for him, playing it against a team that has all the pressure on them and all that talent coming at him. It's up to the team in front to help steal wins. That's what it is. That's what I think it comes down to. It's the team in front, the Matt Duchesnes, the Philip Forsberg, the Ryan Johansson, the Roman Josis. They have to win games for David Riddick.
Justin, do you think that the coaching staff was considering putting in Connor Ingram and going that route because of how he's played in Milwaukee, and that maybe last week with David Riddick's performance against Colorado, that they got that win, and then what happened Friday night, being up 4-0, and then Ingram giving up 5 goals? Obviously not all his fault, but ultimately losing that game to Arizona. Do you think that impacted their decision at all, or was it going to be Riddick the whole time?
No, I think it was going to be Riddick the whole time. He's the backup goaltender. There's probably so many things just politically, and I say sports politics, of you're the backup, it's expected that you get that starting role if something does happen to your starting goaltender. So I don't think it was ever a case really where they were considering Connor Ingram to be the playoff starter, because David Riddick has been practicing with this team. He's played some games, but if anything, he's been in the locker room. He's been a part of this team, whether he's played or not. He has been a part of this team as part of the goaltending tandem with Jussi Saros the entire season. And I think that's what it comes down to, that you don't just call the guy up and say, Connor, you're going into the playoffs and start team. Go win for him. And not to say they wouldn't try their best, but I think in terms of knowing just styles of play, expectations of playing the puck, all those little things that, to give it for instance, in rec league hockey, for me, with the Mighty Drunks, some changes happened. We had moved half the team up a different division, and I'm still in a different division as well. Had a new goaltender come in. I'm used to playing with a goaltender that loves to play the puck, that will skate out of the crease, skate up to play the puck, skate around behind the net like Pecorini and play the puck. New goaltender comes in. He doesn't play the puck near as much. Not used to that. We had to adjust. You have to make so many different adjustments on who's, if they're going to freeze the puck, do they love batting the puck away and keeping the puck live? It's those types of ins and outs of whether it's in practice or in game that become very, very important to players, of learning what the little things are that their goaltender is going to do to help them make their adjustments. So I think him being in practice, him being around the team, is very important to why he is the starter right now instead of Connor Ingram.
Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio is our guest. So across the other side of the ice, Darcy Kuemper for Colorado. What's kind of your thoughts on him and some potential exploitations of the Predators that they can do to exploit him?
I mean, the thing with Darcy Kuemper is it reminds me almost of a Corey Crawford type of thing in the early 20-teens, is that he is not a stellar, fantastic goaltender. He's good, but the team in front of him is what's gotten the wins. And so that's where you're going to have your Matt Duchesne and Philip Forsberg exploit that as well by getting plenty of shots on net. I mean, he has a 9.21 save percentage, 2.54 goals against average. They can't exploit a guy like that because, again, it's when the Chicago Blackhawks were winning cups, it wasn't because of Corey Crawford. The Colorado Avalanche are not going to win a cup because of Darcy Kuemper. That means that there's ways that you can exploit a goaltender like that too. And they're going to have to figure that out. And I'm sure the Preds goaltending staff has been all over that on how to pull that off. But if anything, yes, it's not like you're going up against a stellar goaltender in this league with the likes of a Connor Hellebuck, because they're not even in the playoffs, or going up against an Andre Vasilevsky, or going up against some of those guys. I think the reason why the Colorado's there is because the team in front, obviously because their offense, it's not because of goaltending. So by all means, exploit that, figure out a way to get in his head, and take it from there.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch. I think you're going to see a lot of goal scoring from both sides, but we'll see what happens tonight in game one. Justin, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be listening to yours and Glenn's reaction tomorrow night on Penalty Box Radio at 7 here on ESPN 105 The Game.
Thanks so much, Chase. Appreciate it.
Justin Bradford, Penalty Box Radio, does a fantastic job covering this sport. Coming up next, another guy that does a fantastic job at bag chucking and talking about the Preds on the radio. Hal Gill going to join us from Ball Arena. We'll get his thoughts going into game one as you listen to Preds Extra on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Preds Extra, Chase McCabe here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Lee Company Nashville Predators pregame show. 30 minutes away as Darren McFarlane will have all that coverage for you. Game one, Predators, Avalanche, in the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Let's head to Ball Arena and say hello to the bag chucker himself, Hal Gill. Skillsy, how the heck are you? It's good to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you, Chase. You know what? I'm just excited this is finally here. We've been simmering on the road, and you know I love the road, but like, come on, let's go. It's playoff time. Let's get a game in here. So I've been chomping at the bit a little bit. Let's do this.
You played a long time in this league. Was there ever a point in your career where you were in a situation similar to the Predators of your goaltender that was your rock, that helped carry your team and win a bunch of games, gets hurt, Now you got to go into the playoffs, a tough playoff series with your backup.
I don't know if I've gone through with a goalie, to be honest with you. But I, yeah, I mean, certainly you lose guys, and throughout the playoffs, it's tough, and you lose some guys along the way. And when you have guys out at the end of the season, it's not easy to recover from. But, you know, I think there's so many challenges that the playoffs bring that it, you know, kind of goes in with what it's all about. It's going to be adversity. If you win, you talk to any Stanley Cup champion team, they have to overcome something. And whether it's a goalie stepping up or as a backup and getting the job done, or a player or anything else along the way, someone's going to step up, and, you know, might as well be Big Save Dave jumping in and getting it done for the Preds.
I heard you say with Jared this afternoon that, and you said not to tell any of the guys this, but the Preds are playing with house money. And I loved how you put that, because I think it's absolutely true. Because to me, all of the pressure is on Colorado. Because, and you've been on the good teams. You've been on teams that, you know, are just squeaking in. That, you know, if the team that's picked to win it all, they have the pressure. And I think that's what the Predators are up against. So whether it's Dave Riddick or whoever, the Preds can just go out there and play their game. Is that how you look at it?
Yeah. I'll rephrase it. Whereas, you know, the organization is playing with house money. But because I don't like hearing that as a player, I would be like, no, we're not playing. We're here. We earned this spot. We earned a chance to compete for the cup. So that's why I said don't tell the players I said this, but because you have to sacrifice a lot to get to this spot, to get into a chance where you have. But I think as a player, you're going out there, okay, how are we going to win this? You're focused on how are you going to win the next shift. And maybe Colorado is looking at, all right, how do we finish these guys off in five so we can get some guys rested? How do we want to sweep these guys? And it's a different mindset. They're thinking big picture things where, you know, maybe the Preds, and I'll tell you, if you don't have this mindset, you're going to be in trouble. You have to have the mindset that every shift is going to determine what we win this or lose this. Because I'll be honest with you, it does. You know, if you go out and take a bad penalty, they get a power play goal. It sets the crowd goes on fire. Like, that play made a big difference. If you go out there and make a nice play, take a hit to make a play, and you end up scoring off of it, that play made a huge difference. So you really have to be stuck in the moment and focused on the moment. I think the Preds, you're going to see a team that is certainly not going to get ahead of themselves. They have their backup goalie going in. They have a team that they know has a ton of firepower. So there's a little bit of fear, and I think that's healthy in the playoffs. You go out, and although you're playing with house money, you're focused on that one shift. And the fun part I realized when I was older is that if you have success in the playoffs, your career will take care of itself, right? If you're a young kid, say Phil Tomasino comes out here and thrives in the playoffs, well, guess what? He's not just Phil Tomasino, a skilled player that, you know, is going to be a good NHL player. He's a gamer, you know, and that changes everything. And so I think you have to focus on what you can do, shift in and shift out. And I think that's probably a good thing for the Preds to be focused on.
Hal Gill is with us from Ball Arena, Preds analyst. He'll be on the call alongside Pete Weber a little later on this evening. Now, I said at the top of the show, Hal, that I had two things that I didn't want Preds fans to do. That was, one, focus on the regular season series with Colorado, because it doesn't mean anything at this point. And two, compare to 2017, because it's natural to do that. But it's a very different team. Yo said it the best, that there's like three or four guys that are still on this team that were on that 2017 run. Is that something, though, that, you know, you even have to address in the locker room of like, hey, we're not going to worry about that stuff? Or do the guys just know that you hit the reset button starting tonight?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if you talked to one player that said, yeah, you know, this reminds me of 2017. I think it's just such a different beast. There's so much more going on than just, you know, I guess the easiest way to put it is, what has this team gone through throughout this season? It's all new to them. It's all, you know, different chemistry in the locker room, different players, different coach, different systems. There's just so many differences that maybe as fans we look at it and we go, oh, it's just like 2017. Well, as a player, it's very different. And, you know, I've been on good teams, bad teams. Everyone has their own little makeup. And so I think this team definitely has – and the fun part about it is I think they have the mentality that they're tough and resilient, and that's really their makeup, you know. Like, there's nothing else on that team that says, hey, we're this or that. Everyone talks about the same thing. They have fun competing for each other, and the exciting part for me would be that the playoffs are a great time to play that way. And so their strengths are playoff strengths. So that's – what I would be looking at is very different than any other team that they've been on.
What is some advice that you would give or you have given to a young player that had a really good season, whether they're a true rookie or maybe in their second year, that they had a really good regular season, but they've never experienced playoff hockey before? And in their mind as a young player, they might think like, okay, I did it in the regular season, that's going to carry over into the playoffs. You know, it's a whole different animal. So what's something a piece of advice that you would give to a Tanner Janot or a Phil Tomasino, guys that haven't really experienced this type of hockey before?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of guys, I just realized, like, this is what I miss about hockey. You take everything. You take the money, the road trips, the lifestyle, everything, throw it away. I want to play in a game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's all I want to do. It's the best part. And you know, say I'm matched up against Chase McCabe and I played Chase all season and he's been a buttercup in the corner, even you would be tough to play against in the playoffs. And so you have to be ready for that. I'm not going to go in the corner and say, hey, I dominated Chase McCabe all season and he's soft on the puck and he's always looking for the pretty play, like I know you are. Playoff time comes around, all of a sudden Chase McCabe is going to give you everything he's got. He's going to battle for that puck, and you better be ready for it. And so that's the fun part, is you're going to get the best from every player, and you're going to see what guys are made of. And if you stick in there and fight, it might take 7 games to beat a team, but you stick in the fight. And, yeah, you might lose a shift here or there. You might lose a puck battle, and you're going to be frustrated, but you got to go back out and win the next one. And I think that's the part that I love about the playoffs, is that it's a man's game, and you got to be ready to play it.
Hal Gill is with us.
Sorry, Chase. I didn't mean to say you were okay. Soft. It comes down to it, I know when the playoffs are here, you're ready to go.
I'm looking for the pretty play, the pretty women, you know, all those things. So it's totally fine. But along those lines, Hal, I think my favorite part of the playoffs is there's always an unsung hero. There's always somebody that you don't really expect to bust out. You know, Colton Sissons a few years ago against Anaheim in that 2017 season. That's when we really got to know Colton Sissons and the kind of game that he could play, because Johansson was out and he had a ton of injuries, and he was one of those guys that stepped up. So from your point of view is now an analyst but a former player, I mean, was that always, you know, kind of something that you enjoyed seeing, of like, hey, there's going to be somebody that nobody expects, they're going to go to another level that we've never seen before?
Yeah, absolutely. You're looking up and down the lineup, someone's going to make a difference. And hey, if you're on a cup run, you're not just going to win every series one way. You know, you got to have another. Someone's going to get shut down. You know, you could say, hey, Duchesne and Forsberg are on a fire, they'll win you a series. Well, they're not going to win all four. If you're going to win four series, it's going to be other players involved. And that's, you know, don't forget the heightened focus on matchups. You know, can Mikael Granlund go out there and be a beast and shut down a big line like McKinnon? Can Colton Sissons go out there and chip in with a goal. Contenders, you know, intimidate Cale Makar and put him on his heels and make him afraid to go back for pucks over and over and over again. You can look at that and say, okay, that Tanner Janot won that series. And it doesn't matter how it happens. It could be Nick Cousins goes out there and stirs it up, gets someone to take a stupid penalty or make a bad decision. And then, you know, he's the reason. And it goes up and down the lineup. You're going to have Borowiecki and Benning, your third pairing. They're going to be out there against a hot line. And like MacKinnon, they're going to be out there. Can they get a stop when they need it? And that stop, although it might not show up on the score sheet, that stop is going to be the difference between winning and losing. So I think as players, that's what you realize is everyone is valuable in playoff time, and you need everyone to be going, because if you have that one little loophole, teams are going to find it, and they'll take advantage of it, and they'll expose you. You don't want to be that guy. That's the one thing. You don't want to be the reason why your team lost a series.
Hal, one thing that we know with this physical style of play, you know, the Predators, they're going to put guys in the box. I mean, that's something that they've done. Now, the difference is the playing to the identity and getting a penalty, and then having the mental lapses and getting a penalty, and that's the balance. And as you know, the officials are going to play a part in this. That changes this time of year. So how do you balance keeping to your identity, but also making smart plays and not giving Colorado the man advantage?
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing is, at some point, your penalty kill is going to have to step up. It's just, you know, penalties are going to happen. So you have to have a game plan to kill a penalty, and you have to be strong in that regard. But I think for the most part, you can accept that you're going to take penalties, but make them hard. Make them defensive zone. You know, if it's going to be a hook, make sure it's a hook that stops a guy getting a scoring chance as opposed to a hook on the forecheck. You know, don't you can't have those lazy ones. Those will kill you. And, you know, I think the Preds have had those at times. And for whatever reason, it's got to go away. You can't have it. You can't expect to have success when you're killing too many penalties. Yeah, you're going to have to kill some, but make sure they're the good ones. And, you know, I tell you what, I'd love to see – you know, one of these young defensemen go back for a puck and maybe get hit too hard. I'd love to kill a penalty if one of those guys took a beating behind the net and maybe it was a rough or whatever it is. Those penalties, you say, okay, we're setting the tone and we're going to have to pay for it. And then you need to get the kill so that it doesn't cost you. That can turn a series around. That can be a game changer. But the ticky-tack ones are the ones that kill you. So they got to get rid of those. That's been a problem this year. But, you know, they just have to be overly disciplined in this series.
Skillsy, thanks so much for the time. Go get a milkshake and let Darren know. That'll make him jealous since he's not there. But enjoy the call tonight.
I'll make sure I'll have to squeeze one in for Darren just in his honor. Thanks for having me on, Chase. I appreciate it. I'm excited about this one. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, he is one half of the radio team alongside Pete Weber. He'll be on the call with Pete in a little over an hour from now as Predators take on the Avalanche in Game 1. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Philip Forsberg with Willie Donick. We'll do that coming up here on Preds Extra, ESPN 1025 The Game. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Predators and the Avalanche coming up pregame in just over 10 minutes. I'll turn things over to Darren McFarland. But first, a check of the scores. The Rangers lead the Penguins 2-1 in the second period, about 12 minutes and change to go in the second period. Their Caps and Panthers, I think that's going to be a dandy of a series, all knotted up at 1 at the end of 1. Bennett and Wilson, the goal scorers in that game. Adam Fox got things started for the Rangers, and they were up 1-0. But Jake Guentzel and Andrew Kopp scoring in that second period, and that's what makes it 2-1 with the Rangers over the Pens. We'll do a final check of things and a preview of this game. But earlier today, Willie Donick, of course, television voice on Bally Sports and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, caught up with Philip Forsberg.
Well, Phil, I know you guys really believe in the way you play and the way that this team's identity can translate to playoff success. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing the same thing for 82 games, and obviously brought us enough success to be here in the playoffs. And I think our team is built for this type of games. And yeah, we're like I said, we just try to build our game through 82, and now it's just time to shine.
Colorado, we know, is a really tough team. You guys are clearly the underdog here, but do you embrace that part of it?
Yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, obviously, we know, like I said, we know exactly what kind of team we have, and they have a lot of firepower over on their side, and we're obviously aware of how we have to play to be able to beat them. But at the same time, we got a lot of firepower ourselves as well.
It's such a young, exuberant team. You are part of a nucleus of players that have played a lot of playoff games for the Predators year after year, but you've got this new group that got a taste of it last year. That's an interesting mix, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we all have, like you said, we got a good mix, but I think the older you get, the more excited you get. At the same time, you know that you don't have too many chances of this. Not that I'm super old yet, but at the same time, you never know when's the last time you play in the playoffs. You got to try to make the best out of it.
Phil, thanks for the time. Good luck tonight in game 1.
Thank you, Willie.
Philip Forsberg with our own Willie Donick. And listen, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show. I think Philip, I don't want to use the word pressure. I used that earlier. I'm not going to use the word pressure. I think there's a lot of ownership that he has. And you heard him mention there that, you know, you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to chase Lord Stanley's Cup. And they came very, very close in 2017, but that's the closest that they've gotten. And they haven't gotten that close since then. And so he recognizes that. And, you know, whatever happens with his contract situation, whether he's here for a long time or this is his last run with the Predators, I think he takes ownership on doing the best that he can to help get this team to where they want to go. And it all starts tonight. We talked about the physical matchup and that the Predators have the edge there, and they're going to have to use that smartly by staying out of the box. Hal discussed that in the last segment. But you got to have guys like Forsberg do their thing, score goals, Duchesne the same way. Ryan Johansson, he's already gone to that next level, and he's played consistently all season long. And I think that has obviously helped them get to this point. You need him to continue to do that as well. It's obviously going to be a team effort. But when talking about pressure overall and using that word, as I mentioned, Colorado has all the pressure because they know that they're picked to win the Stanley Cup, so they got to back it up now. It can't be on paper. It can't be all talk anymore. They actually have to back it up. And for the Predators, nobody, you know, pick them to be here. Nobody's picking them to win. I mean, hell, I've even said that I think Colorado is going to win this series. So they have nothing to lose and everything to gain, which I think is an advantage for them. And John Hines, the head coach earlier today in Morning Skate, you know, talked about the narrative if they should or shouldn't be here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think that is a little bit of a narrative, but more outside. You know, like when we came in the beginning of the year, we talked about the belief we had in our room, and we've concentrated a lot on how are we going to maximize our team, how are we going to play to our strengths, how are we going to give ourselves a chance to win every night, and we're going to write our own story. And it's no different. You come into the playoffs. I mean, there's favorites, there's underdogs. To me, it doesn't really matter. You have to go out and play the game. You got to compete. You have to play to the best of your ability. There's lots of different things that go on in the series. You know, we feel like we're coming in. We have a lot of respect for Colorado, but to us, it's about, you know, focusing on what we can control. And our job is to come out and try to ice the game that gives us the best chance to win. And I think if our focus is on ourselves, our room, our team, how we play tonight, how we get better after tonight, win or loss, you know, those are the things that we can control, and those are the things that are ultimately going to drive whether we win or lose games.
Whether you want to call it coach speak or not, but I love the phrase control what you can control. I use that in my everyday life. I use that in my job because at the end of the day, that's all you can do. Control what you can control. You can't control what they're going to do. You can't control the fact that UC Saros is out. What you can control is that Dave Riddick is your goaltender and he's in. And now you got to play for Big Save Dave Riddick. And that's the guy that they are putting their trust in, their faith in, and they have faith in him. And that's what they're going to do. You sign backups to be backups, but also with the thought that, hey, if they got to play, we trust this guy. And that's what the Predators are thinking tonight. Riddick versus Kemper. Kemper in his career in the playoffs, 18 playoff games, including in the bubble against the Preds, a .913 save percentage and a .286 goals against average. But I think the matchup that a lot of the hockey world is going to be watching, even though it's a regular season award, the Norris, it's already been decided. Playoffs don't have anything to do with it. Josi versus Makar is certainly going to be a heavyweight matchup between the two best defensemen in the National Hockey League right now. Another really solid defenseman or talented defenseman that's won the Norris, Adam Fox, playing right now. But Makar and Josi is going to be the matchup that I can't wait to see. Can the physicality get it done for the Predators? Can the goal scorers that we've talked about all year long, and the Predators have had multiple goal scorers, can they continue to do their thing? You know, I want to see Tanner Jeannot go to another level, because I think he's a key component to all of this. Justin Bradford brought up Phil Tomasino as being that potential unsung hero, the rookie that, you know, had a really nice rookie season. But as Hal said, you know, it goes to another world, another level when you get into the playoffs. So I think this team is certainly talented enough and with their identity where they could put up a fight. It's just, can all the pieces come together at the right time for them to really make a run at this thing? We're going to find out in a little over an hour when they drop the puck at Ball Arena for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. I cannot wait. I am so excited about it because it's finally here. My thanks to Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio for joining us, and Hal Gill for joining in from the broadcast booth. He'll be alongside Pete Weber as they will have the call for the duration of the Predators' run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we hope that is a long one. And, of course, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage for you starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning with Robbie and Rex Road. But stick around. Darren McFarland, the Lee Company, Nashville Predators pregame show is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.